Good morning.
Good morning.
And peace be with you.
Also
did everybody have a Merry Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. We have some announcements that Roger is gonna, there he is. He switched it up on me. And hey Iris, did you see this? She's hiding. Okay, so if you got one of these in your bulletin, then don't pass up a chance to ask Iris what's going on here, because she has kind of a little ministry that she's invited people to come to, and so we're grateful to have you do that, and I hope you're okay with it. I'm poking a little bit of fun at you with your picture, but they were making gingerbread houses, and I think that's wonderful, so... Yeah. Oh, and we have some visitors here today. Love you. Good to see you guys. And so, Roger, will you take it away, and then we'll get to going.
Good morning, Reformation Lutheran Church. Okay, please take out your bulletin. Don't be like me. Take this home, set it aside, and never look at it again. You know, you need to look at it during the week. It wasn't me. Okay, this month's mission was Lutheran Social Services. Still have a chance to give towards that today. Tuesday at 10 o'clock is Sit and Be Fit. And then following that is a 11:15 Bible study led by Pastor. And then I like to remind you on page 5 of your bulletin, there's room for praise reports. We're always looking for worship assistance. Please consider volunteering, and we'll be happy to train you at whatever duty you volunteer for. Okay, mark your calendar for January 17th, 11:30. That's a Saturday. Is our annual congregational meeting. And then for council members, Ed's going to restate this later. Council members, Monday, 11 o'clock, we have a special meeting. And then I was just reminded, please take home your poinsettias today after service. I think that's about it. Take it home, look at it.
Thank you, Roger. We are blessed to have Nick back with us leading worship. And our opening hymn is This Is My Father's World, hymn number 554.
Thank you.
please stand if you're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. He is. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. All right, the first reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 14. This can be found on page 1160 in the Pew Bible. Prior to these verses, Isaiah speaks of the Lord's second coming with violent judgment against the enemies of Christ. These verses prophesy our saving redemption as people of God. Isaiah chapter 63, beginning with the 7th verse. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Next, we will read Psalm 111 responsively, and it's printed on page 6 in the bulletin. This is a psalm of praise, likely following the return of the Israelites after they had been exiled. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The epistle this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, And this can be found on page 1813 in the Pew Bible. And the note here is, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, when Jesus calls out to his Father, so we too are heard by the Father when we call out in our hearts. Galatians chapter 4, beginning with the fourth verse. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew from the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and can be found on page 1498 in your Pew Bible. Matthew records, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, and he took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And so he got up, and he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. As human beings, we have this tendency to downplay the brutality of this sinful world. We have this nostalgic tendency to romanticize things. From time to time, we may talk about the good old days, right? The good old days. And very often, a careful examination of the reality shows that the good old days, well, they were not actually that good. Now, yes, there are things in the past that we do miss. We remember those things, those good things. And then there are the things about the past that are absolutely horrible, horrific. And we tend to forget those things, or at least try. The past that we remember is only a partial memory, in truth. The full reality of the past teaches us that things were just as brutal in the past as they are today. A careful examination of the church calendar. We started the new church year this last month. If we look at the church calendar during the 12 days of Christmas, well, it's really a good antidote to the romantic nostalgia we might have about the early church. For example, our image of the first day of Christmas has this image of a pristine baby Jesus in this cute little manger, right? And it's a very European style of a stable. It's not really close to what Jesus would have been in his town at the time. We forget that Jesus made the same trip that many people have, the same trip down the birth canal that most babies make. We forget about all of the bodily fluids involved in childbirth, not to mention the pain and the hardship on both the mother and the child. And there was no epidural back in the day when Jesus was born. There was no blanket warmer. The birth of our Savior was just as messy and primitive as the birth of any other child in that period in history. And then there's the day after Christmas, December 26th. On our church calendar, that is St. Stephen's Day. Remind you that that's the commemoration of the stoning of Stephen. He's the first martyr of the young New Testament church. And we sing, "Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen," and it kind of sounds Christmassy, right? Well, it's the second day of Christmas. And it happens to be the day that we remember that people threw stones at Stephen until he died. Then there's the fourth day of Christmas, and it happens to be the day that we remember all the boys who died in Bethlehem. All the boys that died under the order of Herod the Great. It is the commemoration of the slaughter of the holy innocents. And then, of course, on January 1st in 2026, it'll be the eighth day of Christmas, and that is the day that we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord. And although this is not as violent of a commemoration as others, that follow Christmas, there is still the shedding of blood. And according to the church calendar, the 12 days of Christmas are a very, very bloody time. Today's gospel that I just read is the account of Herod's horrible murder of the boys of Bethlehem. This event will forever brand Herod the Great as one of the more cruel people in all of the biblical account. We talk about Herod the Great every year at this time, and the Roman occupation, well, it had placed him on the throne in Jerusalem. Even though Herod the Great was not a Jew. And the Jews hated him for that. And his very natural paranoia that Herod the Great had, it served him well as he ruled over a nation that absolutely hated him. Ordinarily, Herod's paranoia would not have been a problem for a poverty-stricken couple like Mary and Joseph. He would have ignored them. But Herod was near the end of his life, and the dementia of old age had begun to take its toll. And we know that the dementia of old age has a tendency to amplify character traits. It seems that nice people get really sweet, and cranky people can get really cranky. And in Herod the Great's circumstances, paranoid dictators become psychopathic killers. Herod guarded his monarchy with ruthlessness. If he thought that you were after his throne, he ordered your death. Scripture recounts that he ordered the death of family members. Herod the Great ordered the death of family members, including wives and sons and faithful servants and the like. If you got on his bad side, Herod the Great would take you out. His order to kill the baby boys in Bethlehem was not an isolated incident. It was part of what life was like in Israel under the reign of Herod the Great. And so when the Magi entered Jerusalem, imagine this. The Magi come into Jerusalem and they're inquiring about a newborn baby king. All of Jerusalem must have flipped out. What are you talking? Are you kidding me? The last thing anyone wanted was another claim on Herod's throne. They knew that Herod would get upset, and they knew that this question would likely trigger Herod's paranoia. And they knew that when Herod was upset, people died. The slaughter of the innocent boys of Bethlehem by Herod's order is one of the saddest events of all history. The truth is, though, if we're honest, we can't say much has changed since then. For example, how many times have we stared at our TV screen or our video screen in shock as another report tells us about another gunman who entered a school and killed helpless students and teachers? How many times do we hear about Islamic death squads decapitating their enemies? How often do we hear about another ISIS group wiping out towns and villages that proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How often Do we hear about the more than 3,000 babies that are killed by abortion, the abortion industry, in this country every day? Every day. Over 50 million have been killed in the United States alone since the ruling of Roe v. Wade. The truth is, we don't really hear a whole lot about abortions anymore, unless it's from this pulpit or some other selected sources. We don't really hear about abortions anymore, do we? Could it be that our nostalgic tendency to romanticize things is in denial over the worst atrocity of our time? Could it be that we are all too ready to condemn Herod while we deny the atrocities of our own society? Every day, our country kills more than 150 times more babies as Herod did in Bethlehem, perhaps maybe 200 times as many. And if we condemn Herod, if we are honest, then we must condemn ourselves as well. In fact, we must say that we deserve 150 to 200 times more the condemnation that is ascribed to Herod for just one day's killing in the abortion mills of the United States alone. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, Matthew 7, 1 through 4. He said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye?" With these words, Jesus teaches us that we are just as bad, that we are just as evil as the people that we condemn. Just as we are quick to condemn others, we are also quick to rationalize ourselves. Let me read that one more time. Just as quick as we are to condemn that other guy, we are also quick to rationalize our own actions. Yeah, well, at least I'm not like him. I had a reason. The fact of the matter, the truth that I'm telling you now, is that we are all little Herods when we come in to this world. We are born little Herods. We are selfish. We are survive at all costs little dictators. And in his psalm of repentance, David said this in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David's words mean that at the instant of conception, each and every one of us already deserves to go to hell. That is what the sin that we inherit from our parents does for us. Furthermore, our sinful nature only makes our pile of sin higher and wider and deeper as time goes on. How fortunate it is How fortunate it is that, well, for you and for me, that Joseph obeyed the angel in his dream, and that he took the Christ child and his mother to Egypt. Ultimately, Jesus retraced the trail of his ancestors in the time, long before, when we recall that there was another Joseph that brought his father, Israel, and the rest of his family to sanctuary in Egypt. And later, we read that after Herod the Great died, Jesus would follow the trail that his ancestors, the children of Israel, took back to the promised land. And eventually, Jesus would stand trial before Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great, who tried to kill him in Bethlehem. And after that trial, Jesus finally did die. But he did not die in Bethlehem at the command of Herod. Instead, he died when he had finished his mission here on earth. He died after he had led a perfect life and after he had taken our sins to the cross. He died as God's sacrifice for our sins. He died at the time God established and not at the time that Herod tried to establish. He died only after Jesus himself said, "It is finished." Jesus not only died according to God's timetable, but he also rose to it and ascended into heaven. His resurrection and ascension mean that all who have faith in him, men, women, children, even infants, will spend eternity in his presence. In spite of the pile of sin that you and I have produced, God is with us, Emmanuel. It means that when we died, God is with us. It means that God is with us for all eternity. Because of Jesus, our identity is not as a little Herod. Because of Jesus, our identity is in Christ. From an earthly point of view, Herod the Great appeared more powerful than Jesus. That's an earthly point of view. Herod was the absolute monarch of Judea with the authority of the Roman Empire to back him up. Jesus was this child of poverty. He had very few earthly resources. And even so, Herod could not touch him. God's plan overrules all other plans. God has a definite timetable for his son. No one can change that. God preserved his son from Herod because the time was wrong. And on the other hand, God did not spare his son when the fullness of time had come. And hear this. Hear this. A God who will do that will also graciously protect us. All of us. He will protect all of us from all evil. And he will preserve us in the one true faith unto life everlasting. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, here we are, your children, adopted and loved beyond measure. We humbly come before your throne of grace to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Abba, thank you for giving us the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus, thank you for your great love and compassion. Thank you for laying down your life to give us new life. Thank you for redeeming us. We stand in awe of your mercy and your faithfulness despite our disobedience. Thank you for your patience, God. Lord, we need you. And we acknowledge that we cannot do anything without you. But with you, we can do all things. With you, we have everything that we need. With you, we have fullness of joy. With you, we have peace. With you, we have healing. With you, we have security. With you, we can walk in confidence. With you, we have hope. Thank you for blessing us with everything that we need. Please guide us and lead us in all of our ways. We want your will to be done. We honor you, Lord. You are so worthy to receive all of our praises and all of our love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to the love, the God whom we cannot see. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it, giving it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. His body broken, his blood shed for you and for me. It had to be that way. It had to be that way in order to appease, to fulfill, to make good on the debt that was owed by a sinful world to a righteous God. And he did it for you. And so as we receive his body and his blood, it's not really flesh, it's not really blood, right? It's bread and wine, and we believe that he is present in the elements. We believe that this is a remembrance, but it is a remembrance of him that saves, and it is a means of grace by which Christ meets those believers who take it. And it's a means of grace whereupon we are justified just as if we never sinned. So if that is your confession, then come. The table is prepared and the usher will bring you forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.